Very good, very good. It's good to sing scripture. Hopefully the children will now have that firmly rooted in their heads and remember that. And as we look at Isaiah 53 now, it'll all become very clear, I hope. It's been a really excellent week, a really good fun week. The children were fantastic. They really got into it. I've just been hugely encouraged by working as a team throughout the week as well with members of the church. And just watching the children engage with God's word has been fantastic. And we're going to look at God's word again now. But as we saw in the week, God's word has different effects on different people. And we really want to be good soil. Soil where we receive God's word and it bears much fruit, a hundredfold. So let's pray for that now as we start. Lord, we pray as we come to your word that we would receive it like good soil, Lord, that your seed would fall on our hearts and we would receive it gladly, Lord, that it would bear fruit in us and in others as well, Lord, as we respond to your word. We pray you'd speak to us now by your spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't know if you're aware, but there was a rather big football tournament quite recently. Don't know if you saw that. It's called the World Cup. Might have passed you by, I don't know, but yeah, quite a big... Is it not working, Micah? Oh dear. Let's try it again. It was working a minute ago, wasn't it? Any good? Okay, yes, good. So there was a big football tournament just a few weeks ago. I'm sure it didn't pass you by. It was pretty big, and England did quite well, didn't they? Now, in the first match, it was England versus Tunisia. And I got together with a few friends to watch this game down in Southampton, actually. And before we watched the game, I said to them, right, let's have a go at predicting the scores. Let's see how we can get on. What do you think the score's going to be? And I think most of them said kind of 3-0, 4-0, 5-0 to England. They were pretty confident. And I said, and you're not going to believe this, I said it's going to be 2-1 to England. Harry Kane is going to score the winner. And he's going to score it in the 92nd minute with a header at the back post. I'm not joking. I am honestly not joking. I've got a text message to prove it from my friend. I said at the beginning of the game, it's going to be 2-1 to England. Harry Kane is going to score a header in the 92nd minute at the back post. And you never guess what happened. Harry Kane at the back post heads it in at 1-0. We're all a bit tense, but the ball goes in and England win 2-1. And we are over the moon that we've got a fantastic start to the World Cup. I genuinely said that. You don't believe me, do you? Well, I've got a text from my friend. I knew you wouldn't believe me, so I asked him to text me to say... Yeah, anyway. As it happened, the guys looked at me and they couldn't believe that I had predicted that score. And I couldn't believe it either. But we were more overjoyed at the fact that England had got off to a good start. Anyway, the next game comes along, England versus Paraguay, and we're over at the Holy Book Festival, and we had it on the laptop. We were working hard, but every time there was a goal, we were kind of... And I was useless. I didn't get anywhere near the score. It was 5-0. So it proved it was an absolute fluke. We can't predict the future, can we? It's impossible to know what's going to happen even tomorrow. We just can't predict it. But nonetheless, I was quite happy with my prediction. But it's impossible. We cannot predict the future. But in our story today, in our Bible passage today, someone did. Someone did tell us what was going to happen. Because what we just read there might sound really familiar, but it was written 700 years before it happened. It's a story that talks about a man that would one day come, who would die for the people who rejected him, and that in dying, he would deal with their greatest problem, their sin. But it was written 700 years before it happened. Now, the man that it's talking about, you probably already know the answer, is Jesus. And if you know anything about the life and death of Jesus, you will notice that this passage remarkably predicts exactly what's going to happen. Because God knew. God knew it was going to happen. So we're going to have a look at this passage this morning and see if we can see what God's trying to say to us through it. Now, there's been a lot of talk of sheep this week, but a few years back, my family and I went to Wales, and those of you who are familiar with Wales will know there's a lot of sheep in Wales, and we did see a lot of sheep that week, but there was one sheep, as we were driving home, who was caught outside of the field. desperately trying to get back in. We were driving home and we saw him outside the fence, desperately trying to get back in. Now, he'd obviously spent quite a long time trying to get out of the field. It's not easy. It's, you know, there's a fence around it. He'd spent a long time trying to get out, and he'd probably had a bit of fun whilst he was outside the field, enjoyed, you know, being outside and looking at his mates back in the field and thinking, oh, look at them, they look silly and I'm free. But by the time we got there, this sheep was desperate to get back in. And it was bleating, it was scared. What it needed was a good shepherd to come and bring him back into the fold, bring him back into the safe place, just like the good shepherd we heard about this week at HBC. Well, what we've seen this week at HBC is that we are like lost sheep who've gone astray. Like this sheep, we don't realize the beauty of having a good shepherd. We like the look of the outside, and we search for something different. We look for other joys that might bring us joys, or other things that might bring us joy. And we go wandering off. But just like this sheep, we need to understand we've got it wrong. And we see this again in this passage today. And what we see in this passage is that like this sheep who thought it was a good idea to escape from this shepherd's loving protection, we have misunderstood the good shepherd as well. So the first thing we see in this passage is that from the Bible is that we got it wrong about Jesus. We get it wrong about Jesus. In this passage, it first tells us that there was nothing about Jesus that made him look special on the outside. There was nothing special just to look at him. He was just an ordinary, regular guy. And so when he started to claim to be God, people didn't like it. And even when he began to prove it by the miracles that he performed, they didn't like it even more. They hated it. They hated him. They despised him so much for what he was doing, and they wanted to kill him. You see, they didn't realize that this God-man had come to seek and save God's lost sheep. They got it wrong about Jesus. They didn't realize that he had come to reunite them with the good shepherd. And they were running away from him and reject him. They got it wrong about Jesus, and so do we. The way that we live shows that we have rejected God too. Because we don't live as our good shepherd intended us to. We're like sheep who have gone astray. So Jesus came to show us the seriousness of this. The seriousness of our sin, our rejecting God. And he came to deal with it. Because what is remarkable is that as they reject him and kill him on the cross, Jesus uses their horrible act of hatred to deal with their hatred. It's incredible. As he is killed, he deals with our sin. As he is rejected and killed, he deals with our rejection of him. It says in verse 3, he was despised and we esteemed him not. We hated him and didn't see that he is God. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. There's two long words in there, which Charlie explained in the week, or on Friday, I think it was. Transgressions and iniquities. They both mean our sin, our rejection of God, the ways that we have turned against God and lived against his perfect ways. But this is remarkable. As we saw, this is written 700 years before crucifixion was even invented. But we're told that Jesus was pierced. His hands were pierced. His feet was pierced. His side was pierced as he hung on the cross. And we see that our rejection is the reason he was pierced. Because we sinned and rejected him. This doesn't seem fair, does it? And it isn't. But this just shows that the sort of God we have. He is the shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Because we see that through his death, he took our punishment and gave us his peace. He took our punishment and gave us his peace. The punishment that we deserved for rejecting God, for running away from him, was laid on him. And the peace that he enjoyed with God, because he had never sinned, was given to us. It's the greatest swap, the best substitution ever. Now, I want you to imagine, children, that at the end of the term, your teacher gives you your report. And on that report, it reveals that you have failed everything. Not only that, but it tells on the report of how you've been disruptive, you've been rude, you've been nasty to your friends, and you've been rude to your teacher as well. You'd be pretty scared to take that report home, wouldn't you? What are your parents going to say when they see you failed everything? You've been rude and nasty to your friends and even to the teacher. You're going to get in big trouble, aren't you? Well, imagine the teacher then comes to you and says that your friend over here who's got all A's, he's passed everything with flying colours. He's been polite, he's been kind, he's served the class really well, and he's willing to give you his report. She's going to scrub out his name and write your name at the top of it. What a difference that would make when you go home, eh? What's going to happen to that boy? Well, he's going to get in trouble because of what you did. But you get to go home, I don't know, maybe taken out to McDonald's for the treat of getting a great report. Well, it's a bit like this for Jesus on the cross, isn't it? He gets a perfect report card from God. Where we have failed to live for God and to love others, Jesus has loved God perfectly. He's loved others perfectly. He has lived for God perfectly. And so he takes our report card. He takes the punishment that we deserve for that on the cross. And we are given his perfect A-star report card. We are given his peace with God. And peace with God is something we all need. As we've been singing at HBC this week, we are all like sheep. We've gone astray. We have turned to our own way. I wonder whether you can relate to the sheep that my family saw on holiday. Whether you've seen this week that you have been running away from God. That you've got Jesus wrong. That you're going along without the Good Shepherd and you're in danger because our sin leads to death. Maybe you've been through hard times and you felt lost and in a dark place. And you would love someone to lift you out of that and to give you peace. Well, in Jesus the Good Shepherd, there is hope. Because the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He laid down his life for us. He took our punishment. By taking our sins on himself, we can have peace. In his death, he defeated all that holds us back from having that perfect relationship, that joy and peace of knowing God. Because he didn't stay dead. As we heard in the week, he rose to life and he offers us that life as well. And that means that even though we will all die, if we're trusting in Jesus as our good shepherd, then we will rise again with him and be with God for all eternity. Because Jesus has made it possible. This also means that rather than being lost sheep struggling through life, we can have peace now. Because we have peace with our Creator, the sustainer of life. We have peace with the one who holds our life in his hands and who offers eternal peace with him in heaven, the new creation, where there will be a great party. God is a good shepherd who doesn't want his sheep to remain lost. He wants them to come home where there is a huge party. Have you realized that you've got it wrong about Jesus? And that you need to come back home like that sheep? Maybe this is something you're discovering for the first time this week or today. Well, for the younger ones, if you want to explore this further, I've got some Bibles. So there are some that are going to come back today, and I've seen one of them already, who are going to come back to receive that Bible. So I'd love to give you that this morning. You can take it away, read more about Jesus, discover more about what it means to follow him as your good shepherd. And also on Friday nights, as we've been advertising this week, there's opportunities for you to come and explore and learn more about what it means to follow the good shepherd. And you can find out more details from Charlie and any of the team if you want to find out about that. And maybe if you're a little bit older, adults here, you'd like to explore it more. Well, we have something called a Christianity Explore, where you can come and ask all the questions you've ever had about the Bible, about God, and we'll discuss them and see if we can find out more about Jesus from the Bible. And of course, everyone is always welcome here on a Sunday. We are just a collection of people who are not perfect. And we've realized that. But we've also realized that Jesus has made us perfect through his sacrifice on the cross. And that that's what unites us. That's why we come back every week. So we can continually ask God for his help to follow him as our good shepherd. Well, let's have a moment of quiet. We can reflect on all that we've learned there, all that we've heard about Jesus, our good shepherd, this week, and that he's laid down his life for us. And then I'll lead us in a prayer of reflection. Dear Lord, we thank you once again for this fantastic week that we've enjoyed. We thank you for all the fun that we've had, all the games, the great weather that we were blessed with, so that enabled us to get outside and to play some games on the field and for that water fight. We thank you for all of that, Lord. But most of all, we thank you that this week we have learned about you. That we've heard more about the Good Shepherd who has laid down his life for us so that we can have peace with God. And Lord, we all need that peace. We all want that peace. We want to know the joy of knowing you. And so, Lord, I pray for any here who don't yet know that joy, who don't yet have that peace, that you would meet with them, that you draw them back to yourself, and that they would enjoy a lifetime of knowing you and an eternity of being in your presence. And I pray for those of us here who do know that peace, that you would refresh us, Lord, you'd refresh our souls, Lord. Remind us of that truth daily, that we would come back here and meet with each other and encourage each other, challenge each other, push us on to continue living for the Lord Jesus, our Good Shepherd. Lord, we thank you so much for this great truth. And pray you'd remind us of it by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to continue now with a song, All I Have is Christ.